You have a Bible, turn to Isaiah 58, verse 13. In my church, we have to say, if you have a Bible or a mobile phone or a tablet, turn up your Bible. Because a lot of people today have the Bible on their phones. I don't, I'm still old-fashioned. I like a Bible like this, but some people today have it on their computers and whatever. So whatever means you have, turn to Isaiah chapter 58 and two verses again, which we've already read, but I'm going to read them again. Isaiah 58 verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honourable, and shalt honour him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Do you look forward to Sunday? Do you pray for the preacher that is booked on the Lord's day? I want tonight to speak about the importance of the Sabbath. The Sabbath day. Now the word Sabbath means cessation. That's what the word means. When God created us in his image, and we read that earlier, he ingrained in us a body clock. Every 24 hours, as you go through the day, when it gets to sort of 10, 11 o'clock at night, you begin to think, oh, I need to go to sleep, I need to go to bed. That's to do with your body clock. Also, after 6 days, we need a change. We need a rest. Our bodies need a rest and refreshment after 6 days. The French, once, a long time ago, tried a 10-day week and it didn't work. Now, the Sabbath was not a Jewish institution. The Sabbath was a creation ordinance. Now, this is very important. So that's why we read this from the book of Genesis. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work on which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. That word means set apart. Because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So the Sabbath did not begin with the Ten Commandments, so they're important, but it began right back in the first and second chapter of the book of Genesis. Now the book of Genesis is a book that is of extreme importance. The book of Genesis is the foundation book for the entire Bible. The book of Genesis often comes under attack from evolutionists and liberals. There are those who do not accept it as historical fact. Now, I'm one of these people who believes in creationism, that God created man in his image, male and female created he them. I do not believe in the theory of evolution. I believe that's one of the greatest hoaxes that's ever been perpetrated upon mankind. If you are a creationist today, if you believe in the book of Genesis as actual fact, you are ridiculed. You would be in trouble if you tried to teach it in the schools today. But the book of Genesis is so important. The book of Genesis tells us how sin entered into the world through the sin of Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Now, if you say there is no literal Adam, if you say he never existed as a literal person, the whole gospel collapses. There's no need for Christ to have died for our sins upon the cross if there's no sin that has come in through the sin of Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world. Now, there is evidence in the Bible that Adam was a real person. You look in the New Testament, you'll find a genealogy that goes right back to him. Adam was a literal person. The flood of Noah was a literal flood. It did actually happen. And there is much scientific evidence for it that the flood actually happened. We haven't got time to go into some of the evidence tonight, and you need someone perhaps a little more acquainted with the scientific information than myself. But the book of Genesis is so important. If we remove the book of Genesis, then we might as well do away with the entire scripture. And so the book of Genesis tells us that God on the seventh day ended the work which he had made and rested on the seventh day. Then, of course, in Exodus 20, we have the Ten Commandments. How important they are. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Now what does it say next? Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, or sanctified it, or set it apart. So the Sabbath day, the whole concept of a Sabbath, is a creation ordinance. Ah, well, some will say, ah, yes, well, that's all very well, but we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace now. Surely these Old Testament teaching on the Sabbath doesn't apply. And they will quote Colossians 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now that is referring to the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law was done away with when Christ died upon the cross, when the veil of the temple was rent in two. The ceremonial law was finished. But the moral law of God is not finished. The Ten Commandments are not finished. They're still important. What a different world we would live in if people obeyed the Ten Commandments. They're the basic rules for living. We'd have no murders, would we? We would have no adultery. We would have no theft. We'd have no dishonesty. We would have no covetousness, and so on today, if people obeyed the Ten Commandments. And so we see the importance of the principle of the Sabbath day, a day of cessation. Jesus had some things to say about the Sabbath day. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. Jesus had been in trouble with the Pharisees, because the disciples were plucking ears of corn on the Sabbath day. So Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath, of the Sabbath day. Well, now, you may say, well, now the day's changed, hasn't it? The Jews kept sunset Friday, I think, to sunset Saturday as their Sabbath. We today keep the Lord's day, because that was the day that Christ rose from the dead. Now the Sabbath on the seventh day marked the completion of creation. As we read, that's when God rested. The first day of the week shows, and in that first day of the week we celebrate the completion of redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ, dying and rising again from the dead. Jesus himself appeared on the first day of the week. Let's look at that in John chapter 20 and verse 19. John 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. That was on the first day of the week. Our Lord Jesus is Lord, is he not, of the Sabbath day. Luke chapter 6 and verse 5 tells us something very much the same. He said unto them that the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So today we celebrate, or we have, and indeed we celebrate the resurrection of Christ every Lord's Day, not just on Easter Sunday, because that was the day when Jesus rose from the dead. It's interesting that the revelation given to John on Patmos, when was that given? If we look at Revelation chapter 1, there's John. He's on the island of Patmos. Now, the Patmos is an island, if you look at your atlas, you'll find it's in the southeast of the Aegean Sea. If you look at an atlas, there are loads of islands between Greece and Turkey. Some are Greek controlled today, some are Turkish controlled today. And John was on the island of Patmos when the revelation of Jesus Christ was given to him. Revelation chapter 1 verse 10 or verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. That message to the seven churches, and that's a fascinating study in itself, if you look at that, those messages to the seven churches were given on the Lord's Day. So how important that day is, and is for us today. And we read in Acts chapter 20 about St. Paul. And we read that upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Well, I won't be preaching till midnight, I can assure you of that. But the Apostle Paul preached until midnight. Well, now, having said all that, what's the situation today regarding the Lord's Day? How should we, or what should we do or not do on the Lord's Day? Now, it would not be right for me to say you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that on the Lord's Day. Opinions will vary amongst Christians about what perhaps is appropriate for the Lord's Day and what is not appropriate. It's not for me to be a judge here. This is entirely between you and God. But the Lord's Day is a day of rest. God rested after his creation. And as I said about the human body clock, we need a rest, one day in seven. So medically, the Lord's Day is good for us. Now, I have no medical qualifications whatsoever, but I'm sure today that there'll be less depression, less heart disease, less nervous disorders, less of this and that, if people honoured the Lord's Day and rested on that day and worshipped God on that day. I'm sure it would make a great deal of difference. The Lord's Day has been eroded in our country by successive governments who have deregulated Sunday trading. They say, oh, we're going to have a continental Sunday. But in fact, if you go to the continent, I know when I went to Austria many, many years ago, on Sunday, everything shuts except one or two food shops. Everything shuts on the Lord's Day. And on Ascension Day, everything shuts as well. It doesn't here, but it does over there. Truck drivers, I believe, in Germany, or it's either Germany or Austria, are not allowed to drive on Sundays. If you go to Germany or Austria on Sundays, you'll find the motorway service stations are packed full of lorries because they're not allowed on the roads unless they are taking food or medicines. Not so in this country. And today we have a crisis of drivers, which we all know about. So Sunday trading has done a lot of damage, as it were, to the Lord's Day. Go back 20, 30 years or more, there was very little sport on the Lord's Day. There's now professional football and everything else. And the shops are open for 6 hours. The big shops are limited to six, and the other small shops can open as long as they like. It's done a lot of damage to the Sunday school movement in this country. Children today want to get out and play football on a Sunday morning and not come to Sunday school. Now, Mayor, I'm not sure whether I've given these statistics in a previous sermon when I was here, but I'll repeat them. In 1953, 55% of children in this country attended Sunday school. In 1953. Attendance now is less than 5%. Jaira Chapel Lewis, lovely chapel, if you haven't been there, go and have a look at it, amazing building. In 1920, and I have this on good authority from somebody who goes there, in 1920 had 600 children in the Sunday school. 600, they had a gallery like this, three-sided gallery in Jaira Chapel Lewis, full of children on the Lord's Day. Many churches and chapels now have no Sunday school at all. It is the Lord's Day, not the Lord's half day. I mentioned this morning that in some places it's hard to actually find a Lord's Day evening services. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. We were once a great Christian nation. One of the reasons we were a great Christian nation was because we honoured the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day was kept even by unbelievers. Though they may not have attended church, they tended to rest. They didn't do a lot of sport and stuff like that, which goes on today. This passage in Isaiah 58:13 is very appropriate for our modern age. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honourable, and shall honour him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. To many today, Sunday is just a pleasure day, a day for enjoyment and pleasure. Now, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. God doesn't want us to be miserable. God wants us to enjoy ourselves. God wants us to enjoy life. Yes, we can. And we can do things that are legitimate and pleasurable. But we are not to disregard God by doing these things on his holy day. We are to call the Sabbath a delight. Is it a delight to you when Sunday comes round? Or do you wake up on a Sunday morning and say, oh dear, Sunday, got to go to church, you know? Or do you delight in the Sabbath day? Doing thine own ways, doing your own thing. Many people just do their own thing, don't they, on the Lord's Day. Even Christians, I'm afraid. Finding their own pleasure, speaking your own words. But God says, if you delight in the Lord, he will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. There is blessing if we honour the Sabbath day. In this country, industrial progress and prosperity came from a nation that honoured God and kept the Ten Commandments. So many things that are happening in society today are symptomatic with the fact that Sunday has in many cases been abandoned or eroded. We have alcohol and drugs problem. We have lost our way morally in this country. But you see, in the book of Genesis, the social standards of clothing, language, marriage and behaviour all are there in the book of Genesis. Could it be that the COVID-19 pandemic is a judgment from God? I know it's worldwide, but it could be, possibly, it's a judgment of God upon us. Let me give you a few quotes. G.K. Chesterton said, "When men cease to believe in God rather than believing in nothing, they believe in anything." We're living in a humanistic society with political correctness and so on. To believe in God, to believe in Genesis as actual fact, as I said earlier, is going to cause perhaps ridicule or even persecution. Growing disbelief in the literal 6 days creation goes hand in hand with disbelief in the authority of the Lord's Day. Let me give you three or four more quotes in finishing. Sir Winston Churchill, this is what he said. Churchill, Sunday is a divine and priceless institution, the necessary pause in the national life. It is the birthright of every British subject, our responsibility, privilege and duty to hand on to posterity. So said Churchill. Now that man has come under attack recently, but he believed in the importance of the Sabbath day. He wasn't perfect, but he believed in the importance of the Sabbath day. President Roosevelt, experience shows that the day of rest is essential to mankind. R. Murray McChain, preacher, he said this, "England without Sunday is England without God." How true that is. We are living in a society without God today. Dwight L. Moody, now this is a really good quote, Dwight L. Moody, "No nation has ever prospered that trampled the Sabbath in the dust. I believe that Sabbath desecration will bring a nation down quicker than anything else. Adam brought marriage and the Sabbath with him out of Eden, and neither can be disregarded without suffering." So I'd say finally to you, is the Sabbath a delight to you? Is it a day that you honour, where you put God first and worship of him first and have time for rest and family life and so on? Or is it a day when you just seek your own pleasure and do your own thing? And are you in the Spirit, as John was on the island of Patmos? Are you in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Let's pray, shall we?